The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And it's 8 a.m. Central Time where we are. Where that, when I say we are, I mean my time and my guest time. Dr. Ingrid Scott joins us again on the show, and it's a never-ending battle, this thing over the abortion pill. Dr. Scott believes the abortion kill pill is deadly for the unborn baby and dangerous for mothers who take it, leading to four times the complications as surgical abortions. I don't know, why are they not getting it? Dr. Scott, welcome back to the show again. It's always a pleasure having you on.
Thank you, Dave. They're not getting it because nobody understands it, but thank you for talking about it.
Well, we have to. You know, in 2020, when 500,000 people or, you know, babies were aborted chemically, 25,000 of them went to the ER or required surgical follow-up. I mean, this is pretty scary stuff. And see, now the surveys, according to my show notes here, 63% of mothers who are having abortions these days are doing it chemically using this pill.
Yeah, absolutely. Just as a background for your listeners, it's two pills. Mifepristone blocks progesterone receptors, cuts off the hormonal support for the unborn child and causes him to die, followed in about 24 to 48 hours by misoprostol that induces contractions to expel the tissue. It's a terrible experience for women. They bleed about 2 weeks, usually heavily. Almost half describe the pain as severe because they are going into labor. And so many of these women actually will see their aborted child.
And so this is happening how often after they find out they're pregnant? Right after, or how's that happen?
Well, the FDA initially approved it up to 7 weeks gestation very early. They extended it to 10 weeks in 2016. But using the COVID pandemic as an excuse, they removed all in-person supervision. So that means these are now being prescribed by telemedicine or online without any healthcare professional ever laying a hand on the woman. So no physical exam, no ultrasound means the women are estimating their gestational age. Sometimes they're wrong, and sometimes they're so desperate they will lie. And we've actually also seen that international and national.
I just love that. That's all right. Yeah, we have puppies out there. I love it. I have one here too, but she's only barked once during the show, so don't worry about that. But I just love it when the dogs make themselves known, you know.
They just discovered the neighbor dog came to visit. I was hoping they wouldn't notice, but they
did. Yeah, they did. Those things happen, so that's okay. you know, we're talking, in fact, folks, you got to understand, Dr. Ingrid Scott is a pro-life OBGYN from San Antonio, Texas. That's why she's in her time zone. She's a medical director at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, which is a pro-life research group, and has been referenced by name 11 times by justices and their attorneys. So, you know, here's the thing. We've got transcripts of the 90-minute hearing that we're going to post on today's blog, in addition to on the website at thepowerhour.com. And you have to understand something. Dr. Scott has had to operate on women who did not and have not expelled their dead baby after taking this abortion pill regimen. Isn't that right? Prescribed by a different OBGYN.
Right. That is the case that I've cared for many complications, but it's important to recognize the FDA doesn't even require this to be an OB-GYN or even a doctor. So we see that these are coming, they're actually coming many times from Aid Access, which is in the Netherlands, and they've documented that they will send the pills even if they know a woman is past the 10-week gestation cutoff. So in answer to your earlier question, many of these women are delivering bigger babies. There was a very interesting article in the Washington Post last week where the journalist, to her credit, because she is pro-choice, but she described the experiences these women went through. One woman talking about her baby's face and how long the legs were. One woman describing the umbilical cord hanging between her legs. These are women that are taking these pills far later than they should be used. High quality studies tell us 4 out of 10 women who take them in the second trimester will need surgery. We even know, I mean, even when they're taken the way the FDA recommends, about 6 to 8% will need surgery. And I'm in Texas. We've been protecting unborn life for almost 3 years. Good for us. But these drugs are being used to circumvent our state laws. Abortionists in New York are mailing them into my state. We're having trouble figuring out how to enforce our laws in that situation. And these women, when they have complications, they have no one to turn to but the emergency room, and I staff the emergency room. So I care for them. Of course, I'm devastated for these women that they've been lied to. I wouldn't refuse to take care of them, but it is ironic that I'm pro-life, and I'm the one that needs to clean up the complications of these abortion drugs. So it's a pretty messed up situation, really.
Well, the one pointed question, because I always somehow manage to ask pointed questions. Have you ever had a situation where a woman in this situation that took these things in a later trimester or whatever the case may be has actually passed away on the operating table when you were trying to take care of it?
I have not had that situation. Due to these abortion drugs, I have cared for two women in my career. Well, one was a partner's patient, and one was a patient who came in as I was a resident who did die of complications of abortion. But that's another issue entirely. The CDC mainly looks at death certificates in order to determine if a death is related to pregnancy. And for many reasons, they do not pick up abortion-related deaths. And so they will try to sugarcoat it. They tell women, by the way, that these drugs are safer than Tylenol. And they do that by comparing the undercounted deaths. They know they're undercounted from abortion drugs to Tylenol overdose deaths. Very dishonest comparison, because, you know, women are led to believe, well, my Tylenol got rid of my headache easy, you know, easy as pie. These pills will make me unpregnant. They don't realize they're going to go into labor. They're going to deliver and often see their baby. And in about 1 out of 20 times, they're going to go to an emergency room with complications. Again, at least 1 out of 20 times, they're going to require surgery, sometimes in emergent conditions, to take care of the complications.
Well, when they go in this situation with emergent conditions, you are not the only OBGYN that is directly involved in helping them and saving them. Is that right?
Right. So basically, when they come to an emergency room, whoever happens to be the doctor that is covering the emergency room will take care of them. And sometimes they present to private gynecologist office as well, if it's not as severe a complication. But the reality is that approximately 90% of obstetricians do not perform elective abortions. As much as our professional bodies try to, you know, create the narrative that this is essential reproductive care, it's obviously a lie, because obstetricians don't do the procedure. And so what you've got is you've got out-of-state abortionists mailing them in, knowing they're not going to be available for the complications, knowing that it's going to be obstetricians who do not do abortions that are going to be caring for the complications. The FDA knew this. Their own data showed that 1 out of 25 women went to an emergency room. So apparently this is a feature, not a bug, of the approval process right now, is that we have an emergency room system that will care for these women. Otherwise, we'd be seeing a lot more deaths. Giving these drugs in African countries, which does happen, by the way, the WHO likes to promote them, without blood banking, without a good emergency room system, we know there's got to be deaths, but nobody's really trying to track that information either.
Sure. Now, the thing is that people, what they don't understand, and this is, you know, women need to especially understand this, and I understand it because I've actually seen the procedure up close and personal. And your dogs are just loving this conversation, obviously.
So sorry.
That's all right. The what they call dilatation and curettage, DNC, this is different from your procedure. DNC basically, and people look at this, oh, they just stick a vacuum cleaner up. It's not a coat hanger vacuum cleaner procedure. It's way more complicated than that. And I've seen the procedure done on when, for example, the baby delivered, the placenta delivered, but some of it detached from the main body of the placenta, and it came out and left some of the placenta in there, which then resulted in having to have a DNC done for the purposes of making sure that the entire uterus, the uterine wall and everything else, because I've had my little time in med school, so I understand the policy and the procedure, but that's not just in rare cases, but this goes way beyond that, doesn't it?
Right. So, you know, sometimes abortion advocates will acknowledge, they'll say, yeah, some women need surgery, but no harm, no foul, because their other option was to have surgery. So not a big deal. But let me tell you how this looks in the emergency room. They may come in hemorrhaging. They may come in with very rapid blood loss. You're rushing them to surgery. In some cases, they need a blood transfusion. They can come in hemodynamically unstable, fainting. You know, so it's an emergent setting often rather than just, oh, well, we're just, you know, calmly taking them to surgery. And in many cases, these women, they don't bleed as severely as I just described, but they bleed every day for months. I've cared for a woman who bled every day for 6 weeks, another woman who bled every day for 2 months, and called the abortionist and were merely told, oh, we're going to send another prescription for misoprostol, take it again, see if it works this time, or massage your uterus and maybe the bleeding will stop. Well, those women both had dead tissue in their body that their body was unable to expel. They had to have a surgery to remove it. So this is what we're talking about. I mean, not just the physical, but the emotional ramifications of sitting there for 2 months thinking maybe today will be the day this stops. And then to be blown off by the abortion provider who doesn't want to, even at the time that they were in our state, they often would not offer to see the woman, to evaluate her, to see what she needed. They would just kick the can down the road. Well, take some more misoprostol, rub your belly and see if it gets better.
Wow. So the other situation that obviously comes into play down the road, have any of these issues resulted in a complete hysterectomy?
I am not aware, certainly I'm not aware of anybody that I've cared for. The FDA, so this was kind of interesting, when they first approved these drugs in the year 2000, initially they had pretty tight safeguards. They asked the provider to be a physician, to register to say they wanted to provide abortion drugs, because again, not most of us don't want to provide abortion drugs and don't want to be pressured to do so. But they had to guarantee that they would accurately determine the gestational age, rule out an ectopic pregnancy, which can be deadly and these drugs don't treat, and provide surgery if it was needed. And also at that time, the FDA did say that complication reporting was mandatory. Well, we've discovered they never evaluated that data. A FOIA request and some pro-life researchers finally did and discovered that even if we use the low level of complications that the abortion industry reports, 1-2%, which, by the way, is usually because they've lost about a quarter to a third of their women to follow up and don't know their outcomes. So they don't emphasize that problem with their studies. But even if we look at the low number, knowing how many abortions were performed, we see that only about 5% of the complications were actually reported when it was mandatory. But even that data showed us there were a significant number of women who received blood transfusions, who did have surgery. There were some hysterectomies there. So it certainly can happen. Again, our governmental agencies like the FDA and, of course, the abortion industry, the pro-abortion mainstream media, they all turn a blind eye to these complications. You mentioned at the beginning of the show that there have probably been 25,000 women go to emergency rooms, and that number is based on what the FDA data tells us, that 1 out of 25 do go. But what we also know is that, again, there's no system in place to detect these accurately. And we performed a study, which, by the way, was vehemently targeted because it had inconvenient results. But our study documented that 60% of the time they were miscoded as a miscarriage complication. So again, the women are ashamed. They don't want to tell the doctors what's going on. The abortion industry tells them it's okay to lie. I mean, this is documented on their website. You don't have to tell the doctor. They can't tell the difference. It makes no difference. And so many times they're not coded correctly. But a follow-up study that we performed documented that the women weren't treated as well. They required about 3 visits before they finally got the surgery that they needed. So it did make a difference in their treatment.
So if they've been encouraged to lie to the doctor, this is something, I mean, even those who watch that TV series House, he even says the same thing. He goes, look, if you're lying to me and you're not telling me everything, we can't properly treat you. In fact, we may misdiagnose you and treat you improperly, which could kill you. So, I mean, why, you know, this is, these people have no conscience.
Well, I think it's clear, and I wouldn't say this is the case for every pro-choice person. I think most pro-choice people have just believed the lies they've been told for 50 years that women need this. And that, of course, is a lie, and we could really go into the reasons for that. But at some level, there are the pro-abortion people who know the truth and are willing to let women suffer in pursuit of their ideologic goals, which are ending every unintended pregnancy. And if the women are collateral damage, they appear willing to let those women suffer. So that's what we're dealing with. The Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine lawsuit, which went was heard by the FDA, I mean, by the Supreme Court a couple of weeks ago. That's essentially what this lawsuit is saying. It's pro-life doctors who are caring for these women in emergency rooms who have sued the FDA, saying removal of all of these safeguards was inappropriate. You're causing women to be harmed even more than they were being harmed before, because again, you know, this one out of 25 number comes from before they removed the safeguards. But now, you know, like we talked about earlier, women are taking the pills at later gestational ages. Ectopic pregnancies are not being diagnosed, and those are rupturing, and they're coming to emergency rooms, and women don't know what their experience is going to be. Many women come to the emergency room because they're frightened, because they're bleeding so heavily. They have not been told this should be expected, right? So that, you know, safer than Tylenol is backfiring on them, because Tylenol doesn't make them hurt and bleed like that.
And because of the fact that they don't want to have the baby and they're trying to abort the baby, and if it is an ectopic pregnancy, which basically means being born outside of the womb or being harvested or you know, cultured outside the womb, they're bleeding like in a fallopian tube or something. You wouldn't know that unless you got an ultrasound.
Right, right. I mean, this is the whole thing. They used to routinely do ultrasounds, but now that you can order it online, no ultrasound, of course. And also, by the way, on this online ordering, they don't even know who's ordering the drugs. Is it a woman who wants an abortion? Does she know that there are 3,000 pregnancy resource centers that would walk alongside her and support her? Because studies tell us most women with a history of abortion would have preferred to have given birth if they'd had more support. Do we even know if it's a woman? Is it a sex trafficker, an incestuous abuser, a coercive boyfriend? We don't know, because these pills are being mailed to just whoever pretends to be a woman seeking an abortion, and there's no way to verify that they actually are. So again, the FDA allowed that to happen. They used the COVID pandemic as an excuse, which was a poor excuse at the time, because again, most women who are healthy enough to get pregnant are healthy enough to withstand a virus. But now that pandemic's over, why don't they put these safeguards back on? That's what the Supreme Court has been asked. These drugs will not go away entirely if the Supreme Court rules in our favor, but they will put those tighter safeguards back on, where they're prescribed by a doctor, where they're given at early gestational ages, where we actually care to look for complications.
Well, see, and now there are certain things, certain admissions that were made in the Supreme Court abortion pill case. Could you discuss what those are?
Well, at the time of the oral hearings, it didn't focus as much on the data as I would have liked. But the good news is there have been 39 amicus briefs filed in that case. The data is very compelling. So anybody who is, and Charlotte Lozier has filed one. So anybody who's interested in the actual data can come to our website, or they can look at these other amicus. And I think that if the Supreme Court does consider the case on its merits, it will realize the FDA has failed in its duty, which is to protect American women and girls from dangerous drugs. And I think they'll put the safeguards back on. But most of the discussion was about standing. So again, these are we're pro-life doctors. We don't do abortions, and yet we're the ones that are taking care of the complications. And so there was some discussion about, are these doctors really being harmed? I mean, I would argue that obviously the biggest harm is the women, but the women usually are not willing to initiate a lawsuit because they're so ashamed. And I've had women tell me, Dr. Skop, I think that this complication is what I deserved. for making this choice. So this is the situation you're in. The women are being harmed, but they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to, you know, go public and talk about their experiences. In most cases, there are some women who bravely will do that. But the question was, have the doctors been harmed so that they can sue? And the discussion was very enlightening. Samuel Alito asked the government's attorney, if these doctors don't have standing to sue the FDA, who does have standing? And her answer was, no one has standing to sue the FDA. The FDA is the experts, and their judgment should stand, and no one should second guess it. And again, I mean, isn't that incredible? Even if somebody's listening who's avidly pro-choice, they should say to themselves, no, that's not appropriate. We can't have this fourth branch of government, these bureaucracies that are totally unaccountable. We've got to be able to hold them accountable in some way. So I think this case is about more than abortion. It's really about, can the FDA just do whatever it wants? Can it break its? It literally broke the law several times. It was in a rush to approve these drugs. And so it redefined pregnancy as a life-threatening illness for which there is no other treatment available in order to use accelerated approval regulations. They've never performed, in 24 years, they've never performed a study specifically on a pediatric population, but there's no lower age limit. A 12-year-old victim of incest can be given these drugs, and we have no idea how her body's going to respond to that. So again, they have to be held accountable for following the science, for looking at the good data, for determining, wait, removing all these safeguards is going to make it dangerous, too dangerous for women. Let's put these safeguards back on.
I am surprised that people, even after all of this and what we're talking about, still trust the FDA, the CDC, the NIH, any of these acronym agencies out there that think they know more than we do. And the thing that really blows me away is all these people out there, because Dr. James Thorpe, I'm sure you know who he is, has come out and said that a lot of these women who have gotten the jab have now turned around and they're bleeding, even postmenopausal are bleeding. Started having periods and doing all this other, and I'm just looking good at it. You get somebody out there that took the jab and is now doing this stuff, and they want to get a transfusion or they need a transfusion, and we don't know about the condition of our blood bank. I mean, there's so many variables coming into play here, but then you have the court telling you, well, we're not sure that you actually have a private right of action, yet your relationship creates a nexus, a legal nexus with that patient. Because you're sitting there saying, my patient, who I have a Hippocratic oath to take care of and protect. And see, folks, if you're not recognizing where this nexus comes from, we've had county recorders like Jeff Thigpen, who have sued MERS and the states over these bogus recorded documents in the land records. And the courts have come out and said, sorry, you have no private right of action because it wasn't you that was harmed. This is the same bloody thing that's going on in the medical industry right now that Dr. Scop is after. And I'm just blown away that people that they still trust these people after what happened with all these jabs and people dropping dead and being adversely affected by all this garbage.
Yeah, I think that, you know, a lot of us woke up in COVID, obviously, but just the institutional capture. I mean, that's what I think it can be, you know, either ideologic or financial, you know, approving drugs that don't work. And the FDA has a long history of approving drugs that don't really work well. But then you see people from the FDA going and sitting on the boards of the drug companies and you say, well, that shouldn't be allowed. But I agree. I mean, I just think that a lot of Americans, because they listen to news media other than you, other than people who are willing to be curious about what's going on, it's not on their radar screen that this has happened.
Now, this is one of the reasons why we have this conversation. And of course, this is why the pro-life community is having a very tough time in front of the courts right now, is because of this situation with doctors being told that you don't have a private right of action and women are too scared to come forward and sue on their own. But see, I mean, is the ACLU? I mean, a lot of the reason that women won't do this is because they don't have the resources that you guys do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's we'll see where it all goes. But honestly, the very first step, I think, is to talk about it, just to educate people to what's going on. So I appreciate what you're doing. Our website, LozierInstitute.org. I actually have a paper specifically about the studies that the FDA looked at And in fact, I've had one accepted for peer review that'll publish pretty soon, where we look at the data in the UK, because they pointed at UK data, which presumably should, we would think would be good because they have single payer healthcare and they can link records, but it turns out they don't. So they have two separate systems. They have one system that gives the pills and another system that cares for the complications. And even those don't communicate. But in the United States, it's even worse because most abortions are paid for privately. So the only way you know if an abortion occurs is if a woman reports it. And again, these women don't want to report it. And so you just, you can't find out the true complications of these. And even the short-term complications sometimes are looked for. Long-term complications, no one is looking for. If a woman fails abortion drugs and needs surgery, a very high-quality, large Chinese study documented she had about a 3 to 4 times higher risk of having a preterm delivery next pregnancy. Nobody's looking at that. Giving these drugs, again, without any kind of pre-abortion testing means women who are Rh negative, about 15% of the population, will not be offered a Rogam shot. We've always done that in first trimester losses. But now all of a sudden, based on like looking at 50 women, the abortion industry's decided that's not needed anymore. Even if it's not needed in the first trimester, again, women are taking this in the second and sometimes third trimester. In the UK, they've documented stillbirths, 30, 32, 33 weeks stillbirths of women taking these drugs unsupervised way past the gestational age where they should be doing that. So if it hasn't happened in the United States yet, it will. But the question is, will any of the media be interested in discussing those when they happen?
Well, see, and the media has been instrumental in covering up the bad behavior of big pharma anyway, which is a bigger problem that we have. And it's just one of these things that I think now that we're talking about this, and now we have states, and this is, I think, probably the biggest complaint I get from a lot of people, especially women, is that the federal government should not be paying for abortions, nor should they be paying for gender transition surgeries. All of these things should be, if they're going to get this done, that this should be the responsibility of the person that is seeking that kind of thing, like an elective surgery. Are your patients paying you, or are you getting reimbursed from the government for taking care of them?
Well, when they come in, and especially if they come in and act like it's a miscarriage, you know, there's reimbursement that is given. But a couple of things to say about that. One is the federal government, there's a Hyde Amendment that makes it illegal for the federal government to pay for elective abortions. Illegal. This has been in place since the 70s. And yet we, our current lawless government is just blatantly breaking the law. We've seen that they're trying to provide abortions through the VA system. Biden has sued several states, including my state of Texas, many times because he really wants to take us down. But they've tried to jam abortion into pre-existing federal laws. There's one called EMTALA, Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, that prevents patient dumping. It's a good law. It keeps it tells emergency rooms if a woman or if anybody presents with a problem, you need to evaluate them. You need to stabilize them. And if they need better care than your hospital can give, you need to transfer them elsewhere. That law specifically talks about a woman and her unborn child. So the law recognizes the child is also a patient. And yet Biden has tried to shoehorn abortions into that. He sued Texas unsuccessfully, but he sued Idaho successfully in the Ninth Circuit. That case is going before the Supreme Court in a week or two. Wow. So again, they're just any way he can, he's trying to shoehorn abortion in. But here's something that is kind of shocking. I was unaware. There are 17 states in our country that will use their state Medicaid money to pay for elective abortions. Wow. How eugenic is that? To try to get rid of your women, the children who might live in poverty by paying for these abortions. And you know, there's probably a coercive element to that.
Yeah. For whole other subject.
Yeah.
Dr. Ingrid Scott, thank you so much for joining us. We're out of time. We're going to the break right now, a little late, but we're going to the break, and we'll be back with Robert Tektalian after these important messages. Dr. Scott, thank you so much for joining us.
One supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean Black Seed Oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with Olive Oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi everyone, this is Catherine, producer of the Power Hour. Not very many of you know that I suffer from an autoimmune disease, and one product that I depend on daily is Global Healing Center's organic plant-based selenium. Selenium is essential for optimal endocrine and immune function, and for moderating the inflammatory response. Not only that, but this essential trace mineral plays a vital role in promoting a healthy thyroid, maintaining cardiovascular health, and supporting metabolism. This expertly crafted supplement is extracted from the mustard seed plant. It is vegan-friendly and highly bioavailable, ensuring optimal absorption of this powerful antioxidant. So whether or not you're dealing with an autoimmune disorder like me, or you simply want to boost your immune function, I recommend you try Global Healing Center Selenium from the Power Mall. It's available by going to thepowermall.com or by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. 9829.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646. uscoincapital.com.
Minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time, where we are here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you in this final segment. And I have in my hot little hand right here a tube of Vitamir toothpaste. Can you see that up close and personal? This is the one that they call Zinc Plus Extra with CoQ10 and xylitol, the natural way to keep your breath fresh, your gums healthy, and your teeth clean and bright. And, of course, it's got all these great ingredients in it. And Robert Tektalian from Vitamir joins us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Hope you have a great day today.
Well, I hope so, too, because, you know, when you brush with this stuff, I mean, your mouth actually feels cleaner than when you don't, you know, which is a fortunate thing.
I do that 3 times a day, every day, and I will do that to the next 75 years.
Yeah, if you live that long, I know.
I intend to.
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing, though. You make a good point because your oral health is huge as far as life sustenance, right?
Exactly. You know, we all can think positive. We're going to live good, healthy, long life. And our body can help us to do that if we do all the right things for our body, just like our body does things for us, like working 24 hours a day nonstop till the last day of our life.
Yeah, it's just amazing because, I mean, your story goes way back. I mean, you almost lost all your teeth. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, it was a very funny story. I had started having oral problems, when I was around 45 years old or so. It got worse. My business was, I was in a flower industry doing, I had flower shops, and I was very busy. All I wanted to do is be healthy enough to work. Every time my gums would bleed, or I would have a pus collected under the gums where there's a big bubble and it painful, hurts, I would go to dentist. They would poke it, clean it, give me antibiotics, send me home, and say, okay, next time you have to go to the periodontist. Now, the way I describe this is dentist and periodontist work together like playing volleyball with my wallet. Now, thank God I could afford the dentist and periodontist, but to the point where last time my periodontist saw me, he said, Robert, if you don't remove all your teeth out of your mouth, you will have no gums left to hold your dentures. That's how bad it is. I said, my God, what am I supposed to do? He says, oh, don't worry. We will remove all your teeth. We'll put the best implants for you. It's only $45,000. I said, okay, you know, what am I supposed to do? I mean, I have the best, good dentist, and I have a good periodontist. I have to trust them. And my wife told me, how come you trust them and not trust me and all these ingredients that I chose? Let's do something about it ourselves. And my thinking was, what could a couple of natural ingredients do versus a great dentist and a great periodontist? But I didn't want to remove my teeth. Of course, I tried anything possible. I said, okay, let's give it a try. That's how it all started. You know, we were very busy working, doing, running our business and so on. And in between, we start making this mouthwash with the ingredients that Yvonne chose because she did a lot of studies of which ingredients could work together, which ingredients are great for oral health. So we end up our main ingredients being zinc, folic acid, clove oil, and myrrh oil. Those are all great ingredients. It's so easy to read about them, except trying to put it together for people who were not into the manufacturing or knowing how these things work. You know, we're different business kind of people. It took me about 3 months by combining ingredients and cooking and experimenting and so on. By the time I finished the mouthwash to be what it is today, I was totally healed. My gums were not bleeding. Like before, my gums would bleed. Even I would just talk to somebody. A lot of times my customers would tell me, hey, Robert, your mouth is bleeding. I was so embarrassing. And bed bread in your mouth, you know, when you have blood in your mouth at night or daytime, it smells bad. Most of the time, bed bread is from bad bacteria in your mouth. So I was so excited that I was able to bite an apple and eat it. The way I described a lot of times to people, you know, an apple, nice fresh apple, is very tight. To have that first bite, you need good teeth. So I would explain to people, hey, I can bite an apple and eat it. People who knew I have oral problems. And they say, yeah, what did you do? I said, oh, I just made a mouthwash that it really works. And they would say, can I have some? I said, sure, of course you can. I'd love to. So I started making it, cooking it home, got the bottles, and Yvonne made some labels. You know, we were doing just for fun. And uh-huh. And I started giving away the product to customers to the point where we were making about 50, 60, 100 bottles to give away almost every week.
Wow.
And one day, Ivan said, you know, before we get into trouble legally, we better do this, have it done in a good manufacturing facility. So this is how it all started. We had no idea what we were doing. We were just trying to do something right. And my idea of, if I can help somebody who suffers like me, even one person that I can help not to suffer the way I suffer, then I've done something good in life. And that's how it all started.
Yeah, for sure. Well, see, and the thing is this is all, and I'm holding a 16-ounce bottle of the Zinc Plus Herbal Mouthwash from Vitamir in my hot little hand right here. We have it here and we use it in our house. The thing is all of this that Robert just told you is in a base of distilled water. So, I mean, there's no added chemicals. All this stuff is natural ingredients, and it worked for him and it works for me. And I'll be your best testimonial. If you have a testimonial, we certainly would like to hear from you as far as testimonials go. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons why, you know, we have Robert on the show is to explain this stuff, because we are doing the toothpaste giveaway, obviously, for $25 plus donation, but also 10% off on all the Vitamir products. And so, Robert, you started out making the mouthwash, and then you went to the toothpaste after that, right?
Well, what happened, we knew I had a lot of customers who had health food stores in town in Las Vegas. And I asked them if it's okay for them to try to carry, because I had it manufactured already in a laboratory and all done in a nice, good facility. And I wanted to put it in the store so they can help everybody I can. And they said, yeah, let's give it a try. You know, they couldn't say no. They were customers, and they did a favor kind of for me to have my product on their shelves here in town. And it went like crazy. After a while, when we had already, you know, some other stores who carried our product, people from the store owners said, hey, can't you make a toothpaste? This is great product, but you got to make a toothpaste. But it has to be, has no sugar, no preservatives, no chemicals, absolute natural toothpaste. I said, you know, I don't know how to make toothpaste. I mean, I made the mouthwash. It was sheer necessity for me to do it before they remove all my teeth. And thank God I was able to keep my teeth. But toothpaste, I didn't know how to do. And we had this laboratory who made our mouthwash. It took us about 2 years to make our original toothpaste, which is in the kind of a orange box. And that's the one it started with. The same ingredients like the mouthwash, zinc, folic acid, clove oil, myrrh oil. But we had to add some other ingredients, obviously, to make toothpaste, like grapefruit seed extract, dicalcium phosphate, vegetable glycerin, silica, carrageenan, sodium lauryl sarcosinate. And all those things happen. It's just like a dream. You know, the toothpaste was ready. I had some stores already who wanted the toothpaste, and we were able to put in the stores. And again, it started selling like crazy. It was so great. People who heard my story, give it a try. I was always telling them, look, how can you go wrong? It's a great ingredient. Just read the ingredients. I want to help you. I don't care about money. I had the money. I had good business. I was doing because I just love to help. Create something new. Where versus going to dentist every month and then every other month going to a parodontist, how about using a bottle of mouthwash and toothpaste and clean your teeth a bit three times a day and see the benefit of it? Not only it will save you money and time going to dentist, it will save you a lot of pain. It will make you healthy. You know, I kind of became a health guru just trying to talk about health. Now you can stop me talking anytime. People ask me questions. Now I know so much about oral health. I tell people, look, if you have a problem and there is a good solution, like a good toothpaste and mouthwash, great ingredients, why wouldn't you use it? What's the difference whether to use this toothpaste or another? This is a great product. So anyways, me being a salesman in a business, I got passionate about it, talking about oral health, telling people, look, you have bad breath, you have gums that is, you have pockets in your mouth. Try this mouthwash. If it don't work, I'll give you money back. No problem. So
well,
here's
the thing, too. Yeah, here we are. And you have a patent. I'm going to hold it right up there so you can see it. There's a patent on this particular product. And this is the Zinc Plus Extra with CoQ10 and xylitol. Now, these added extras are there basically to help. This is an herbal toothpaste, and there is no fluoride in this, and no aspartame, no sugar sweetening, none of the fluoride. I mean, this goes against the grain of what, you know, the American Dental Association, everybody else is saying. And of course, you know, if we don't come out and say, ask your dentist before you, I mean, come on, really? I mean, people, you have to understand that being a dentist requires going to school. Whether it's the Kansas City School of Dentistry or wherever, it's got the best school of dentistry in the country, and you pay big money and you get student loans and you go there and you practice and you know, San Antonio's got a dental school. There's so many good dental schools across the country, but it comes with a price. And these people leave here with student loan debt. And, of course they're going to want to encourage you to get more procedures done. And if you want healthy checkups, some people don't even like going to the dentist because it's just unpleasant for them, Robert. But the thing is if you use the mouthwash and do everything that you're supposed to do, I have all my checkups have been cavity free. There's been zero wrong with my gums. I mean, it's incredible when you start using this. And like I said, if you have a testimonial, you are more than welcome to call the show with it. If you have a testimonial, that's what I want to hear. Testimonial, none other. Because we want to know if it's working for you, if you're using it. So, and the thing is now the Vitamir products, like I said, they're on sale this week at the Power Mall, but also listed on that as well as the 60 count gelatinized maca capsules, certified organic from Vitamir. And it was quite an interesting way that you discovered the potency of maca powder.
Yes. Again, my wife, she was looking something for menopause. You know, every woman knows this. Men don't know enough about menopause because we just hear our wife or our girlfriend say, well, I'm in menopause, whatever. But it affects women really badly. And she was doing a lot of research to find out something naturally that could help for menopause for her because she didn't want to use the progesterone or anything else. We were at the show in Anaheim Convention Center, and we had neighbors in our booth where they were introducing maca from Peru. And I'm talking 25 years ago. And we gave them toothpaste and mouthwash. They gave us maca because Ivan had already researched maca. And when we get back from Anaheim Convention, we decided that she's going to use that, and she told me, you know, this is good for you, too. You better read this. This is a great product. Well, I said, that was for menopause. I have no menopause. You know, it's okay. But she said, this is good for men, for libido, for energy, for muscle tone. This is a great product. But I said, okay, go ahead and make it. I'll drink some, too. So she started making smoothies in the mornings with maca and some fruits with milk or juice or whatever you like to use. We try not to use orange juice because we find out that it doesn't citrus juice didn't go very good with maca powder. So mostly we use almond milk or regular milk or apple juice, whatever you can. Start making these juices we were drinking, and within about 6-7 days or so, I felt the difference, especially for my libido. I felt different. By the time I'm talking about this, I was already 50 years old, and that difference of libido excitement and feeling not so tired because the maca really, really works. It helps you to stay energized all day if you use it properly every day. Then we find out that maca powder turned into gelatinized maca with a process that Peruvian university figured out how to remove the starches out of maca powder to leave all the good stuff. So we also start curing gelatinized maca, which is you're talking about. And we never stop it because it really works. Look, if something you try to sell and if it doesn't sell, you'll be out of business because it doesn't work. You know, I always tell people, look, you can try to sell somebody something like a good snake oil salesman. You can sell it once, but can you sell it two times to the same people, three times, 10 times, year after year? If the product doesn't work, there is no way you're going to be able to sell it again and again. So that's what I have. My testimonial is that we are in business 26 years now, and we have people with us. Some of them probably the last 26 years been with us using our product. They can't stop it because it works. That's why we always say we guarantee 100% money back, because we know you will benefit from it. It's a great product. Buds, toothpaste, mouthwash used together, and for energy and libido use or menopause, gelatinous maca works just great. Two capsules. Even if you're traveling, you can take it with you very easily. You know, powder is hard to take with you to make smoothies when you're traveling, but you can take gelatinous maca with you anywhere you go and take two capsules in the morning and you're good to go. It's a great product. It is very, very helpful to your health. And our health, the way I see today, that's why I'm planning for my next 75 years what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. I'm not intent to die. I've got work to do.
We all cannot die. We all do, Robert. We're all on a mission here, I have a feeling. The thing is about the maca. Now, this comes in a 60-count bottle, which means you got to buy, if you and your spouse are going to take this, you each need to buy a bottle a month each, because you're going to take two capsules in the morning, and that means you're going to go through a 60-count bottle in a month. And so you'll need to buy more than one. If you're going to just buy for yourself, you buy one that lasts you a month. And if you are also helping your spouse out, you're going to buy an extra bottle for her. So that's two bottles a month of the maca capsules. And people are just like, well, this is an all-natural way to stimulate the libido. Obviously, if the libido is stimulated enough, that means that you probably are going to be more receptive to having what we call coitus in the medical terminology. Have you seen a big difference in that in your love life?
Well, I have to be honest with you. I'm 75 years old. You know, men can lie, too. You could say, yeah, I'm sexually active at 75 years old.
Yeah.
And somebody who's smart enough, you look at you and say, well, really, unless you're taking some Viagra or something. Well, I don't. I'm very healthy. I feel great. That's why I'm planning for my next 75 years what I'm going to do. And I will never stop taking maca. Gelatinous maca works fantastic. It is great product. And I will recommend anybody to give it a try. You know, the hard thing is people will spend a lot of money for all kind of other things. But when it comes to your health, what about thinking about your health first before going to the doctor's visits and so on? What can you do? Educate yourself. The number one medicine in the world is education, right? Educate yourself about your health. What does your body need to stay healthy? Number one, beginning of your health starts in your mouth. You take care of your mouth will take care of you. I believe in that because we have to eat to sustain our body. Everything goes in our body through our mouth. Food, good food. Our body can work very, very well if we put all the good things in our body, which is good vegetables, good food. I have nothing against meat. I love steaks. Believe me, I eat everything, but I eat everything in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
Combination
makes sense.
Of the food is very important. Every food has something good for us that we eat. I know a lot of people have this idea of being vegan or total vegetarian or all that. I have nothing against them, but in my belief, I'm an ordinary person, I believe that everything has something. Even bacon has something that nothing else, nobody, no other product has what bacon has. But you need to eat some bacon to get, I think it's the lionel acid, I forgot the name about. But so I eat a little bit of everything. I have no problem with it, but I eat a lot of vegetables, lots of fruits, and I brush my teeth 3 times a day, every day. When I eat something, I will have to brush my teeth. I cannot stay without brushing and using the mouthwash.
Yeah, we get that for sure, Robert. We also have the Vitamir Children's Toothpaste in the 5.4-ounce size as well. And that's all available at the Power Mall. And, of course, Power Mall, by the way, is now open at 877-817-9829 for those of you who want to call and order some. $25 donation gets you a free tube of Vitamir Toothpaste, Vitamir products, all 10% off at the Power Mall today. In the meantime, Robert, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure.
Having me. I appreciate you.
Thank you, sir. And you have a blessed day. And we will again be on the show tomorrow for our Thursday edition here at the Power Hour. In the meantime, Dave Krieger wishing you the best. Go out and do something positive for somebody today. God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrax can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregarisp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.